Here's your weekly dose of something geeky. It's the Geek Cave Skypecast, brought to you by Shirtosaurus.com.
And welcome to the Geek Cave Skypecast. I'm Darren.
Skype.
Infamous.
Captain America.
That was a good
pretty
one.
Pretty princess.
That's Justin and Chad. And, you know, we know it's been a while since we've done a Skype cast. That's why we're all here. Summer movie season's coming up. We're going to be talking about this more in depth, probably in a future episode. But we had a couple of things we wanted to touch base on. Also, we do have a guest. Josh Finney from 01 Publishing will be joining us momentarily. They'll be telling us about a brand new Kickstarter that's got them really excited, got us really excited too. But first, oh my God, you guys, Captain America 2.
Is a movie.
Starring the same people that were in Captain America 1, for the most part.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
It's released by Marvel Studios.
That all is accurate, yes.
A subsidiary of Disney.
Yes.
who released Frozen like 6 months ago? We should talk about that movie.
Yeah, let's. Okay. So Frozen is about a girl born with ice powers, like mutant, but not a mutant because then they'd have to give the rights to Fox.
Aw, truth. Well, I don't want to talk about that anymore. So,
anyway, Captain America.
And we're done. See you next week, folks.
Captain America the Winter Soldier came out recently, depending on when you're listening to the Skype cast. And so far, it seems that everyone pretty much agrees it was pretty good.
For the most part, it really is. I would like to start off by saying, yes, it's a good movie, and the action scenes, for the most part, are really good. I appreciated the slower moments. It didn't feel like the movie had to go from action set piece directly to action set piece. There was little time to breathe.
Yeah, I mean, the first movie was like a World War II meets sci-fi. This was more like...
Really, a movie set mostly in World War II has a World War II feel to it.
I was trying to get across that this one feels more like a 70s political thriller and to point out the differences between the two, but thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
I would actually put it as more of a 70s, 80s intrigue, kind of like a James Bondish kind of thing.
Right.
With a little bit more post 9/11 paranoia.
Yeah, that seems legit. And
you know, they should have totally cast Sean Connery as Steve Rogers.
No, but I could have absolutely seen him as Pierce.
Yes.
Although that being said, why don't we actually break this up into something resembling order? let's start with actors/characters. I thought Robert Redford as Pierce was amazing. Oh, by the way, spoilers all over the place.
Oh, yes. Spoilers so hard.
So we'll actually place that, I'm pretty sure, in the description. If you've not seen the movie, you shouldn't be listening to us right now.
Right.
Robert Redford as Pierce absolutely nailed that role, but he nailed it so hard that he wasn't on screen for more than 5 seconds before I was like, that guy's a douche. Wait, in a Captain America movie, the guy who's the biggest douche is the bad guy. They should have named him that.
Captain Douche Bad Guy?
Baron von Bad Guy Douchey.
No, the Baron comes in the post-credits scene.
Douche, sorry.
Yeah. Douche, it's French.
But he absolutely nailed the part. There was a great deal of gravitas.
Yeah.
When he was on screen, and the scenes between him and Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury were, I think, some of the strongest in the movie.
Well, you know, Redford has his own special camera filter that they use when they film him to give him that incredibly important gravitas, so...
So you're saying that we should give extra kudos to Samuel Jackson for being able to act through the filter?
Well, no, he has his own filter. It's called the MF filter. And when the two meet, it's beautiful.
But in terms of characters and actors, I would like to say that I think Robert Redford nailed it. Samuel Jackson, after so many movies, he's got Nick Fury basically wrapped.
Yeah, it's everybody, like automatic.
It is a very good, well thought out character, and I like what they eventually end up doing with his character. It intrigues me as to how it's going to spell out the future of the franchise. I would also like to say that Chris Evans, right?
Yes, it's Chris Evans.
I have a tendency sometimes to mix up names. Chris Evans still is Captain America. There's no question. You look at him, you see him, the bearing that he's able to bring to the role absolutely says Captain America. I was a little disappointed in Scarlett Johansson's interpretation of Black Widow this time around.
How so?
There seemed to be a lot more of the unguarded emotion rather than the consummate, kind of almost pathological liar spy.
Well, I wonder if they did that to kind of make her more relatable to the audience.
Well, it was to a point, though, where every time she was talking or really on screen, minus a couple of spots there, she sounded like Donna Pinciotti from That 70s Show.
Okay.
Like, just that hint of whine.
Yeah.
In her voice, which just said, my inner Don Adams came out. I'm like, you missed it by that much.
Nice.
But I can absolutely understand why they might want to make her more relatable, especially if she's going to be in several more movies. Because she's kind of an enigma in the previous movies.
Yeah. Well, and there's talk of giving her her own, which would be, you know,
spectacular.
It would also be unheard of, considering comic book movies apparently don't exist with a female protagonist.
Well, they exist, they just fail.
Yeah, I mean, there's Sucker Punch, Tank Girl, yeah, I was going to say that. Blood Rain is, that's a video game property, actually.
Elektra,
oh god, yes.
Catwoman. Superwoman, Supergirl.
Supergirl, yeah. Yes. I guess I should say good.
Batman 4.
Good comic book movies with a female protagonist.
Yeah, those
there aren't many of those.
Yeah, so
Avengers, Iron Man 2.
Yeah, I mean the solo protagonist though is still. It seems like that's the hardest thing for Hollywood to nail for some reason.
Yeah. Oh well,
Justin, what?
No, we're talking about female protagonist, and you use the word hard to nail. I'm just like, really.
That was not intentional.
I know.
Never do that again.
add a quarter to the jar.
If I say it, it's intentional. If you say it, it's just like there's innocent Darren. He made a double entendre and didn't know it.
Anyway, that's the characters, the main characters. Although I did like Falcon.
I thought Falcon was a great addition.
I was concerned because I don't really know much about the character in the comics. I've always thought his outfit looked kind of dumb, but they pulled it off nicely.
Well, it makes sense because in the comics for a while there, Cap and Falcon were, you know, buddy buddies. They did, you know, they were in issues together, and so it's nice to see them on the big screen like this.
Right.
And it's nice to see Captain America actually developing a real friendship, not just a somebody to go to war with, one could actually see him going and just hanging out with this guy. And the way that they play up the relationship, it works out that way.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of way they played up relationships, Peggy Carter, is that the woman from the previous movie?
Yeah, she shows up in this one.
She shows up, and I think that they played her and the relationship with her and Steve absolutely to the letter. For those listeners who don't realize, my particular line of work has me visiting the elderly in nursing homes and hospice care and so on and so forth quite a bit. And I have had those kinds of conversations with people. and they play out very similar to that, where things are going fine, and then all of a sudden you hit the reset button and you start over at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, late life, Alzheimer's, that was really well done.
Yeah, it kicked me a little bit emotionally.
As well it should. If it didn't, you would have, you know, I would probably have to call you some version of heartless or soulless.
Yeah.
Either that or it wasn't done right.
There is that.
But mostly the heartless and soulless thing.
Yeah, well, I get that sometimes. But anyway.
Apparently you're also my older, fatter, balder brother.
Yeah, who knew, right? Find Batty Fan on Twitter. You'll figure it out from there.
Yeah. Okay, so we've talked about character, and we've kind of edged into story. What did you think of the story?
I thought it was spectacular. I thought that, you know, it felt kind of slower. It wasn't as fun as the first Captain America.
Agreed.
But that doesn't mean it's any less good. I thought this was actually a little better than the first Captain America, not because of the action, although there was certainly a lot of it. And I know the Winter Soldier storyline quite well. I've got the trade sitting on my shelf. But I loved how the twist at the end, and if you've seen the movie, you know what we're talking about, kind of puts everything in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the TV series Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right on its ear.
Yeah, in fact, they've even said that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to start reflecting that very soon.
Yeah, what it actually did as of Monday, like the most recent episode.
Oh, yeah,
the episode Turn. And it was, I was telling Chad before we got started, this has actually reinvested me in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I was thinking this show is boring, the characters are kind of underdeveloped, and then Captain America 2 happens, and it adds a whole new layer to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it's reflecting that, and this is what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think should have been doing from the beginning, is reflecting things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I know that there's going to be lulls between movies and whatnot, but when we had Sif from Thor, it felt like kind of a cheap cameo more than anything else, whereas the events of Captain America 2 weaving into S.H.I.E.L.D., it felt more organic, it felt more, I guess, for lack of a better term, real. And like you said, Chad, as far as the developments with Nick Fury, I love where they left off in the movie and just what kind of potential we have for the future of the franchise.
And I think that will be one of the strongest things they have going forward. I mean, Captain America is effectively the straight man to this great big cast. He is the Kermit of the Avengers Muppet Show.
He's practically the everyman.
Practically, but he's also the one who takes things very seriously. Captain America is not a humorous character.
No.
Certainly not like Iron Man or even Thor is,
right,
to a degree. Thor is humorous because of the things that happen around him. Iron Man is humorous because of who he is. Really, the only one who is as serious is probably Banner with the Hulk.
Yeah.
But good luck getting another one of those anytime soon.
Seriously.
So, I think that the story really reflected some of the serious aspects that they need to carry over. I mean, if everything is a laugh a minute comedy high adventure, you kind of miss out on the sense that any of this matters. You know, you have to be invested in the world, which means that events in the world have to have weight. Things have to matter. And if everything's always a joke or a snide comment or otherwise, well, then you don't ever really get the sense that there's any danger or weight to the matters at hand. And so what they did with this story is I think they really were able to say, look, this stuff matters, and it's going to have far-reaching implications for not just Captain America and S.H.I.E.L.D., but for every one of the Avengers that comes after this.
Yeah. And there were smaller touches, too, that I liked. Like Steve Rogers hiding behind the S.H.I.E.L.D., not just in a standing position, but actually getting down and making himself as small as possible behind the shield when facing Winter Soldier at one point. That is something you would actually do with this weapon. You would protect all of yourself. And I'm a little annoyed that it took that long for someone to do that, because they still don't do it in the comics, but I was at least pleased that they did it. It was a nice small touch. I think, yeah, that sounds about right.
No, I've seen them doing it in the comics a couple of times.
Yeah, okay, well, granted, I haven't read as much Captain America, but for the most part, he's just standing there, and he's got the shield in front of him, and every bad guy forgets that he has feet that you can also shoot at, you know?
Yeah. Specifically during X-Men versus Avengers, when Cyclops is just bearing down on him, he's, you know, hunkered down behind it, so
that is
it
true.
Has happened occasionally.
That is true.
I think my spouse and my favorite part, little touch in the thing, is about midway through, great big bad things happen, and then we see Steve Rogers and Black Widow getting away, basically driving in a truck. And we don't know from where we got this truck. We don't know how it came about. And my wife and I both said, well, they actually hitchhike a ride, and then they pretended they had stomach virus and got out to vomit when the driver got out to see if they were okay. They stole the truck because that's how Steve Rogers gets every vehicle he's got except for his motorcycle.
Okay.
Watch the 1990s Captain America movies.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And you'll understand.
Oh, wow.
It was just a little thing.
Yeah.
It's also something I'm surprised that they had Steve Rogers driving instead of Black Widow.
Yeah.
It makes more sense to me as somebody who has grown up in this particular age that she would be the better driver, especially when they're trying to get away from S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Yeah, I could see that, but yeah. That way they could do the get your feet off the dash joke.
Yeah. Okay.
It's all about that.
All about that. And I missed it completely. Man.
But, you know, overall, I think I would give Captain America to right around a B+ or an A-. It's really good. It goes to some dark places really well, but it just wasn't as fun as the first one.
I would give it an A-. And really, the things that are holding it back are just a multitude of nitpicky things rather than big glaring things.
Yeah, but, you know, 1,000 tiny cuts, if you will.
Now, that being said, I really look forward to hearing specifically what Justin's spouse has to say about it, because she has the same kind of analytical, critical mind that my spouse has. And my spouse had some good insights that I hadn't really considered, you know, just in terms of why certain characters would act a certain way or why certain characters were missing.
Right.
Well, as soon as she sees it, I'll have her call you.
Well, don't do it tonight, because we're going to be driving. So
Chad doesn't want to veer off the road.
I do not.
All right. Well, as far as the rest, I mean, this is basically, even though Captain America came out April 4th, it's basically the launching point for what we dub the summer movie season, where all the big blockbusters show up. 2014 so far has been pretty good. We had the Lego movie.
Very good.
Awesome.
It was awesome.
Well, everything's awesome.
Yeah, that's my new ringtone. And
everything is cool when you're part of a team. This was just something that my spouse just reminded me of.
Okay.
Is if you played the Captain America video game,
yeah,
it actually gave you some insight into some of the stuff that was going on in the movie.
Oh yeah, at least with Arnim with Zola.
With Zola.
Yeah.
You don't need it at all, but if you played the game and you come to this point, you're like, oh!
Yeah.
Ha! Huh.
Available on PS3 and 360.
It was a nice little touch. Okay, on to summer movie season.
All right, so yeah, we wanted to just kind of hash out a little bit what we think some of the big ones are or what we're personally looking forward to. Amazing Spider-Man 2 kicks off summer movie season on May 2nd. I was really looking forward to it.
Gee, Darren, what's changed?
Well,
taste?
No. No. But thank you. Now, they released an image of Green Goblin. And he looks like a hobo leprechaun.
They're always after his Lucky Charms.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like, you know, just...
These are my Lucky Charms!
Pretty much. It really turned me off, because your villain... I have to be able to take your villain seriously. I was already having problems with Electro. You know, big blue ball Jamie Foxx. And Rhino is just going to be a tank, like literally a tank with a guy driving it. So Green Goblin was kind of like that last piece of the puzzle. Now, it seems that Emma Stone is going to be fantastic again as Gwen Stacy. It seems that Andrew Garfield will continue the don't really like him as Peter Parker, but he's okay as Spider-Man thing. But just the Goblin, I just, no, why? So it bumped it off my radar.
It's just another step in... another step on the road to getting rid of Spider-Man completely as any kind of serious superhero franchise.
Yeah, and, well, it...
Unfortunately, it'll make more money than, you know, than the church this year.
Yeah, I mean, Sony is still planning. I mean, Sony's going to keep pumping these out as long as people keep going to them, so... See, we've got Godzilla coming up May 16th.
Oh, yes.
It's Bryan Cranston. So, you've got Elizabeth Olsen, you've got the Scarlet Witch, and you've got the guy from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this because it's being filmed in conjunction with the studio in Japan that actually owns the rights to Godzilla. This isn't going to be, God willing, that shitstorm that happened with Matthew Broderick. This is going to be a truly Americanized version of Godzilla. And by Americanized, I mean it's going to be Godzilla, but set in America.
And with explosions and murder.
Okay, maybe not that Americanized.
Well, and I love...
You see Godzilla at the end with a big beer gut.
No, he's got like a beard, a trucker hat, and an AK-47.
He's knocked up the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, Lord.
Well, and I'm also really excited because of the just sheer scale that they've given this monster for this movie.
Yeah, I was going to work on that, yeah.
I mean, the last time they did an American Godzilla movie, yeah, he was big, he stomped through New York. This sucker looks like he could, you know, lay waste to half of New York just by sneezing wrong, you know.
moving quickly down the list, X-Men Days of Future Past on May 23rd. This one I'm looking forward to. Bryan Singer did well with X-Men 1 and X-Men 2. You know, Chad may feel a little bit differently about that. But, you know, I'm hoping that he does what he said he would do, and that is fix shit. So, you know, here's hoping.
Wait a minute. May 23rd, you're going to go see... What about going to see Blended, the new Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore comedy?
Like I said...
Oh, they're doing another movie? Sweet.
Yeah.
Like I said... I'm going to X-Men Days of Future Past.
I mean, I hope it's as good as 51st Dates.
Are you guys even serious right now?
Let's be brutally honest. It can't really be worse.
Well, that's true.
Date Rape the movie? Oh. I think we can do better than that.
Wow.
It was consensual at the time, and then she forgot about it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that would be classified as some kind of mental illness, which would remove the ability for her to make informed consent.
Yes, but her father consented.
Oh, Lord. All right.
Yeah, because that's the society we live in.
The doctor in charge of her said, yeah, go ahead, whatever. It was Dan Aykroyd. That's it. It's Dan Aykroyd's fault.
I'll continue to blame Dan Aykroyd. I don't know if I'm looking forward to Maleficent or not on May 30th.
I'm intrigued. It's like a Sleeping Beauty gritty remake.
Well, I was intrigued the first two previews, and then I saw a couple more. I'm like, I think they're trying to Wicked it.
Yes,
where they're trying to take the villain and make her, she's just misunderstood, but she certainly had a point. Why can't somebody just be an evil cuss?
No, I think Sleeping Beauty got the point in that case.
Nice. I appreciate that.
But I'm bum.
One of the three movies that I'm most looking forward to also releases on the 30th. The one I'd be more inclined to go see, A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah, this one looks silly.
The new Seth MacFarlane movie.
This one looks like it will be funny once. Maybe twice. But I'm not going to go see it with my spouse. She can go see Maleficent, and I'm going to go see A Million Ways to Die in the West, and we'll compare notes on the way out.
Well, you've got, you know, Neil Patrick Harris, Sarah Silverman, you know, Amanda Seyfried. You've got a good comedic cast there.
Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get together, and the three of us are going to go see A Million Ways to Die in the West. The women folk are going to go see Maleficent.
Yeah.
And everybody's happy.
You weren't listening, Justin. You, me, and Lori will be going to see A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Oh, you're right. I didn't hear that.
Well, yeah.
Darren, Mel, and, you know, Elizabeth would be going to see, you know, Maleficent, because that's what Darren wants to see.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not as big a Seth MacFarlane fan as I used to be, so sue me.
That would be against my own interests.
All right.
I think we can skip right the hell over 22 Jump Street.
As well as Edge of
Tomorrow.
Yes. We can ignore Edge of Tomorrow as well.
I don't know. Emily Blunt's in that one.
Yeah, but Tom Cruise is basically a guy who keeps being regenerated.
I know. Tom Cruise is taking Bill Murray's thunder. They should have had Bill Murray.
Yes.
As this guy. Anyway.
Yeah. How to Train Your Dragon 2, that one I'm definitely excited for.
Aaron likes dragons.
Yeah, I am too, and I've seen some of the episodes on Cartoon Network of Dragon
Riders of Berk. Yeah,
and they're good. They continue the story. They're just as well done as the movie is. So I'm hoping that the sequel continues that feel.
Yeah, I'm DreamWorks has always had the capacity to surprise. Usually they take full advantage of a summer when there's not a Disney animated movie. And this would be one of those. There's not a, Cars 2 isn't really much competition, but still Turbo managed to suck. But this year, DreamWorks kind of has an open shot. So, you know, they're throwing How to Train Your Dragon 2 out, which is fantastic. I think it'll be great. That'll be June 13th.
A week later, I'm kind of looking forward to Jersey Boys, but I like the Broadway play. So,
yeah, it's directed by Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, and Clint Eastwood has proven himself to be a decent director.
Yeah.
Now, even as his acting chops have disappeared.
June 27th is Transformers: Age of Extinction.
Dinobots.
Grimlock wonder why Grimlock in movie.
Hmm.
Grimlock trailer not big enough.
Grimlock 8 Marky Mark. Grimlock not sorry.
Not Marky Mark, no.
And well, a couple
they get
weeks
to be in the happening too.
And a couple weeks later we get Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yep. Gorillas with shotguns.
Oh, that's got me sold. All right, on to Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, Jupiter Ascending, July 18th. The Wachowski brothers, you remember them from the Jesus story. I mean Matrix. And
the Matrices.
So Channing Tatum, Mila Kunis. Could be good. Could not be.
It looks kind of like in the same style as Cloud Atlas, which I really enjoyed. Yeah. So I'm interested to see this one.
Now, Chad, The Purge is getting a sequel.
Yeah, I saw that. The sequel to The Purge actually looks better than the original. it appears to be high quality.
Quality, okay.
Nice.
So, now, that remains to be seen. You know, we don't know. Obviously, it doesn't come out until the 18th of July.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I would be able to convince my spouse to go one week to The Purge and then the next week to Hercules.
Yeah, the following week is The Rock doing his best Kevin Sorbo impersonation.
and looking like he's doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah,
pretty much all the pictures and trailers I've seen.
I'm kind of interested, but Brett Ratner's doing it, and I just did a review of X-Men 3, so I think I'm going to skip it.
But it's got The Rock.
I know it's got The Rock, and usually I can smell what he's cooking, but right now I'm not interested.
Fair enough.
So my opinion might change. I mean, there's a really sweet picture out there of him wearing a lion as a hat, you know, and that is, if I was Hercules, that's one of the first things I'd do. So, you know.
Out of curiosity, do we get to skip Sex Tape?
Please.
The Jason Segel, yeah. Cameron Diaz.
Let's do so. We'll just
skip. Well, actually, I can't skip it because I have at least one comment to make about it.
Okay.
I watched the Red Band trailer of this.
Yeah.
Because I was just interested. I'm like, Jason Segel has been doing family type, you know, goofy comedy. So what's this thing about? It looks like it was a movie written about 1997, 98, before people really knew what the internet was and how it worked.
Ah.
And so it looks so extremely stupid.
It does.
That when it comes to Netflix, I will probably watch it to review.
Yeah. Now, one of
the... I like to think of it as it's his I don't care movie. You know, he's got all that How I Met Your Mother movie. All that How I Met Your Mother money. It's like, you know what? Yeah, I can afford to do a bad movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that might be it. Now, August 1st, just jumping forward a little bit, is...
Get on up!
No.
That's... It's the James Brown biography. What else could possibly be coming out on August 1st that you would rather watch?
Probably the movie with a raccoon with a rocket launcher.
Oh, that does sound pretty cool.
That'd be Guardians of the Galaxy, also on August 1st.
Ah, the funniest Marvel movie yet.
Well, that remains to be seen, but it probably
Ooga
has...
Ooga Chaka, indeed.
It does have some good chops, and that... Personally, is probably that's right up there with X-Men as far as like my most anticipated.
Mm.
That being said, I'm also nervous about this one because I don't know anything about the property, but this is by far Marvel's biggest gamble yet.
Yeah, especially since we're not sure how this is going to play into the larger continuity. I mean, obviously, you know, you get a movie like Thor and Captain America set in different times, different worlds for the most part, but you know they're all going to come together in the end in the Avengers.
Yeah.
How is this going to take place? Where are they going to throw this into the
mix? They say this will tie to Avengers 3.
Well, that's good.
But
that's a long time to wait, too.
Yeah, it is. Hopefully it'll also tie into Avengers 2, but I would think Avengers 3 because they're going to eventually work Thanos in, you know.
Yeah. If they don't hurry up, people are going to forget that he was a little Easter egg at the end of the first Avengers movie. Who's this dude?
Who's this purple guy? Is that like Evil Barney? All right. We got a couple more real quick to wrap up. Lucy looks interesting. The Scarlett Johansson movie.
Is that the drug mule swallows her cargo and now has superpowers movie?
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
That one looks interesting. It
sounds like something that upon watching would lead one to hallucinate Ninja Turtles.
Which is also coming out the same day.
Hmm. Then a week later, Expendables 3, The Search for More Money.
Have you seen the promotional posters for Expendables 3?
No.
Yeah, I want a theatrical, I want a theater-sized, you know, the 2.5-foot by 4-foot poster of Kelsey Grammer.
Okay.
That just amuses me to no end. The dude looks like he's getting ready to go on a fishing trip.
Yeah, they're black and white photos of these characters, and they're like sitting on barrels, and they're smiling and laughing. The one with Schwarzenegger, and who's sitting next to him?
I don't have the poster right in front of me, sorry.
Let's just say Schwarzenegger and Stallone, although I don't think that's it. They're sitting like on a table next to each other. It's like they're just jostling with each other.
Have Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren, yeah.
I really like somebody on the Tumblr pages took and cut and pasted the Expendables 3 posters together so it looks like some of them are flirting with each other. You know, the way one of them's looking and smiling is like looking right at Jet Li's butt.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, if it wasn't for the guns that they're all holding, this does not say action
rifles.
Movie.
Rifles.
But, and
this is my rifle.
This is my gun.
And
rounding out what we think our audience would be interested in is Sin City 2. If they do a Sim City movie, that'll be a disaster.
I don't know. Does the audience get to control how it plays?
Only if they're all connected to the internet.
Ah.
If one person in there does not have a smartphone, the entire movie stops working.
I'm just going to go to that one a whole bunch of times just to fuck with people.
But yeah, Sin City 2 comes out August 22nd, and it stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Josh Brolin. I'm not sure, because I've never seen the first one.
I'm also looking forward to The Giver, but not for the theater release.
Mm.
For DVD release. I really like the book.
All right.
I'm interested in where they're going.
Well, that's a look at the summer movies. I think, personally, me, the big one is either Guardians or X-Men. Although, How to Train Your Dragon's really close.
I don't know that I could actually pick the ones I'm most excited for, because as we get closer and closer to each one,
yeah,
is where I'm going to be interested. I mean, right now, probably, I would be most inclined to go see Joe, the Nicolas Cage movie.
Okay.
Which I think that release is midsummer. And that's just because I got done watching an action flick. I just got done watching Captain America, so I'm kind of in the mood for something a little bit more character-driven.
All right. Justin, what about you?
I'm really excited about Godzilla. I am excited about Guardians of the Galaxy just to see what the hell's going on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for the Ooga Chakas.
If that had better play in the movie at one point. I swear to God. Nothing else is really... I mean, I'm sure I'll go see several of them, but I'm just not... Yes, I'm going to go to that one, come hell or high water.
All right. Well, feel free to let us know which movies have sparked your interest, maybe something we didn't mention, or something maybe you don't think we spent enough time on. And, by the way, let's go ahead and bring in our guest. And joining us now on the Geek Cave is Josh Finney from 01 Publishing. Hey, Josh.
Hello there. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us. It's been a while since we've touched base. What have you guys been up to lately?
Oh, well, we just got back from Emerald City Comic Con, which was actually a pretty big deal for us. As you know, Kat runs 01 Publishing, and this was the year that we went from being one of those booths in Artist Alley to a booth on the main floor with a full display, and we were right up next door to a Zenoscope in 2000 AD and holding our own. So I'm a writer. That's what I do. It's Kat's company.
Right.
So for Kat, I mean, it was a big deal for her transitioning. The company's making that transition to the real deal. It's no longer two people in a bedroom, you know?
Well, hey, you know, we're proud of you guys because we've been hanging out with you for, it feels like a couple years now. And it's been nice to see the growth that you guys have been working with. Now, I understand there's a new project you guys are looking at, maybe an audiobook kind of thing?
Yeah, we're working with the Audio Comics Company. It's their project. They're licensing the product or project from us, but I'm writing it. And what it is it's a full cast audio drama of the Utopiates graphic novel. And there's some stretch goals that could make it a lot more than just that.
Okay.
Did you hear the Titanium Rain adaption they did?
I did. It was really good. In fact, that was one of our giveaways not too long ago. And I know that the listener that got it was pretty excited too.
Cool.
And so, as far as Utopiates goes, for anyone who may have missed your previous appearances on the show, real quick, can you kind of lay out what Utopiates is all about?
Okay, Utopiates is a very different story from our other work. Utopiates falls into the cyberpunk genre. We like to describe it as what would be the drug culture of Blade Runner. The basic idea is that in the near future, science is able to synthesize personalities and memories and experiences as a drug that can be injected. And there actually is some real science behind that. But the idea is that this drug is created. It was used for various purposes, some of them not so good, some of them actually very beneficial in psychiatric health. And it found its way onto the street. And then there started being black market copies and various modifications. And it's not good. It is naturally something good gets into the hands of the wrong people and it starts to go wrong. What you're doing is you're following the lives of four different individuals who get caught up in this drug culture for various reasons, and it just kind of spirals down from there. I think where it differs from Titanium Rain, which was kind of an action story with philosophical underpinnings, this one is a lot more about what drives people to do things, what it is that draws people to drug use, what's missing inside them. It was originally inspired by a lot of the cyberpunk I was reading, but also in my younger years when I was in college, I worked for a lot of record labels. And my experiences in the music industry is I'd met all these brilliant, talented, incredible people, and so many of them were using heroin or doing other very, very destructive behavior. And it was me looking from a distance in what was driving this, what was missing in them to do this.
Right.
Was the initial seed for the story.
Very cool.
And it went from there.
Very cool. Now, for those who, growing up watching MTV, may have saw Aeon Flux, the animated series, you guys are actually working with the voice actress from that for this audiobook, right?
Yeah, that was the reason I jumped in on this so much. The original plan was to do Titanium Rain 2 as an audio. The audio comics guys basically said, Titanium Rain 1 was a huge production. It was about, what was it, three times the size of the cast they're used to working with, and they needed a little time to catch their breath and raise the funds to do something that big again. And they had mentioned Utopias, which they really wanted to do. And I'm like, well, you know, we really should get to doing that sequel to Titanium Rain first. And they said, well, you know, we work with Denise Poirier, who is the voice of Aeon Flux. And I was sold. I loved the show, and her voice is ideal for a kind of a pivotal character in the story. And the moment I heard we could get her to play that character, I wanted to see it happen.
Very cool. Now, since it's a Skype cast and we've got kind of a shortened schedule, I don't want to take too much more of your time, but if people want to know more about the Kickstarter campaign or Zero One Publishing, what's a good way for them to help you guys out?
Okay, as far as the Kickstarter is concerned, I would highly recommend everyone go to Kickstarter, type in Utopiates. It's a merging of the word utopia and opiate, and check out the video. The video on there says everything. It'll give you a sense of what the production will be like. It'll give you a sense of the stretch goals. If we can reach one critical stretch goal, it'll turn it into a 2-CD set. And it will include 3 new stories, one of which will be written by John Shirley, who is an amazing author, kind of a legend in his own time. He's worked with William Gibson. He kind of founded a lot of the cyberpunk genre tropes. He wrote the script to The Crow. I really want to see this happen.
Nice.
And as far as helping out us, I mean, order the book. Go to Amazon.com, type in Utopiates, order the graphic novel. That's the best thing you can do, aside from jumping on the Kickstarter. And if you go through the Kickstarter, $25, you get the CD and the book signed and a bunch of other stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, and of course, we'll put a link on our website, deepcavepodcast.com as well. If you want to find out more about Zero One Publishing, it's a number zero, the number one, publishing.com. Josh, thanks for taking some time with us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Josh. I think that wraps us up. You guys have anything else?
I do not.
All right.
No, I'm good.
All right, well, join us in a couple of weeks. We'll be joined by Greg Wiseman of Gargoyles fame. He created that show. And he's also going to be telling us about a new project he's got with Lucasfilm. It's really exciting. And, hey, feel free to reach out to us, facebook.com/deepcave, or just send us an email, deepcavepodcast@gmail.com. Chad and Justin and, of course, Kent Harris, I'm Darren. Thanks for listening. Remember, everyone's a geek for something.